was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 479. The Return of the Prodigal Son. So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Mike.
Spencer.
Mike's back. Dave. I guess my apologies worked, and he came back.
I heard you were talking crap on me.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
That's not fair.
I think it is.
Well, when you're not here to defend yourself, yeah, I mean, exactly. That's kind of still your
that's
fault.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's all fair.
So. Oh, I'm trying to think of news. I can't think of any news. Mike has news.
Image is no longer going to be doing second
person. Oh, yeah, I was going to get to that. We'll get to that in a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, that's a rant.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, Brubaker was talking, he had an article recently, he was talking about the, what's the website where everybody's going to?
Substack.
Yes, Substack. What a interesting name.
And he kind of blurted out what's, could be appears what they're getting paid, like a couple $100,000 to be on there. And they asked him why he's not doing it. He's like, well, I'm writing Reckless. I'm writing more Reckless. I'm doing Hollywood stuff. I don't have time for this. He's like, I don't know how these guys have time to do like three newsletters and all this other information going out constantly. So he was like, kind of like.
Yeah. I also heard a podcast where he's talking about, he's like, I'm doing the comics the way that I want to do comics now. So I don't see a reason to change. You know what I mean? He's like, I got plenty of work for me and the artists that I work
with.
Yeah,
him and Sean Phillips could do his...
You could do what he wants.
Whatever he wants forever. He's just like, personally, it doesn't work for me right now. Yeah. He's like, now maybe down the line, who knows? But he's like, right now, it just not, it won't work for me right now.
And you keep seeing Jeff Lemire like, oh, get on my Substack, you'll see this premiere, and it'll eventually hit print, blah, 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 and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, I just want to see it in print.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to pay, go behind a paywall to see your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Especially to see it in an email.
Exactly. It's just like, it, or like maybe in a PDF or something. I don't know how they're going to release that kind of
content.
Yeah, see, like if they were going to do things where it's like they had like a Patreon kind of thing to where you subscribed and like they would mail you things.
Exactly.
Or like,
yeah.
Even if it's just like prints or like little previews of things, like, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff I can get behind. It's just the whole, like I said, the whole email aspect of it and just, I don't know,
the
newsletter.
The whole paywall thing is like, and I understand these guys are trying to make more money and make money for themselves, which is great, but I don't know, it's a little off-putting.
So. I'm just interested to see how long it's going to last because, it seems like one of those things that can't last for too long.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Well, they have big names on there, but... Is it going to get other people to come do this? I don't know.
Well, I think part of the problem is, just, I think we talked about this when they first announced this stuff, but it's like, okay, it's great. It's $7 for you and $8 for you. How many, people aren't going to subscribe to 10 different creators.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, okay, who's going to, the first people in are going to get it. But after that, it's not sustainable for, 20 different writers.
No. And it's so,
or
it's,
artists or
and
whoever.
It's so weird because what you get varies so crazily between each creator. Like, I heard, like, if somebody who's, like, is doing, like, Chip Zdarsky, he's been putting out, like, a lot of different things and stuff, so you're actually kind of getting your money worth for. But, like, if you're doing,
like, Scott Snyder, I don't think he's doing much of anything on it.
Well, he's just using it for, like, his classes, I think, because he has his own thing with, Comicology, what's his name? That's just like who's leaving the X-Men books.
Hickman.
Yeah, I've heard like he's only like posted like two things in the time that So again, it's so weird because it varies so much between creators on how much you're getting.
I'd be a little pissed off if I'm paying X amount of dollars.
I would be too, but I would say anybody who's paying that money for Hickman, that's what you get. You should know that.
You should know that
going in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know his reputation, so.
As frequent as his issues, yeah. Sorry. Editorial comment. I apologize.
Is Bendis on it?
Substance? Not that I know of.
No, because he has.
He has a new thing with Dark Horse.
Yeah, Dark Horse. That's where all his stuff's coming out through now.
That's his independent stuff? Oh, let me guess. Yeah. Dark Horse is going to do powers again?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But he has a couple of, like, what, like, Joyless or, like... Didn't the first issue of that could just come out, or was it in
previews? Not yet. It was, on the cover of previews, yeah.
But, yeah, he has a couple other, like...
I feel bad. I've read as many books for this week as I did for next week. Oops. There were some out this week that I wanted to read to talk about, and, of course, I sold out all of them. Oops.
Well, that's bad. Kind of like a good problem to have.
It is, but you never want to sell out the first day and not have enough for people. So it's a delicate balance.
Well, they don't make it easy on you.
They don't. I was thinking, as I was walking Marley, that they had 4 number ones come out this week. And it's like, you're guessing. It's a total guessing game. You know, trying to, you know, one I sold out of was DC versus Vampires. How do you order that?
Yeah.
What tells you how many copies of that to order? Same with the Long Halloween one. I thought I ordered plenty. I ordered, I think, 35.
Was it $7.99?
Yeah. So, and I didn't have that many pre-orders for it.
Now, was that just one cover?
Two covers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think it was 25 and 10. And then sold out, I'm not sure about the Task Force Z. I don't know if that one sold out.
I think I saw you had like
one. Did I? Okay. Covers. But again, how do you... order that based on Suicide Squad, maybe? Kind of, even though they're not really the same thing. And then that Green Arrow and Aquaman book. I'm like, oh, I sold out of my 10 copies. Yay. Oh, I also sold out of Darkhold Blade.
Who?
How do you order that? Yeah, it's just...
Do you think the... we were talking about when I was checking out the detective going to 4 times a month. Do you think that's going to hurt sales?
Yes.
Say this again?
Yeah, detectives going to weekly or something. Yeah.
How many authors? How many?
I honestly haven't looked. It was funny because I was talking with Tony about this. I said part of because I was talking to him about there's an X-Force kill shot or something issue. It's an anniversary issue for X-Force, and Liefeld's doing a different cover for every character, and there's like 10 of them. And I'm like, because we were talking about a buddy of his that was upset that I was out of the one Gunslinger Spawn cover that he wanted. And I'm like, there were 7 variants. I don't need, you know, I'm ordering the main cover and maybe 2 of each because
it's a Spawn book.
Yeah, and it's like, I think it's like a $6 book. You know, it's like every extra of that hurts. You know, when they sit. And so this X-Force one, I'm like, how do I order this? I need like maybe 15 regular and 1 of each variant. And of course, then somebody's going to come along and want all of them. And he's like, why don't you do it as a package deal and stuff? I said, here's my problem is, and this is something I don't think Marvel and DC don't understand is, I do the previews order every month. So I have to read through it and put in my initial orders. Well, I don't do that for DC or Marvel anymore. Because you really can't with their distributors because the system's rigged against you. I don't know. Lunar may have changed it, but I know Penguin Random House hasn't for Marvel, where once you put in a number, you can increase it, but you can't decrease it. So it's like, what's the point of doing an initial number and then just adjusting it at FOC if you can only go up? You're locked in. So instead, everybody's just doing their final order cutoff on all Marvel and DC 3 weeks before it ships. Well, 4, 5, 6, but... So I don't even look at their previews anymore because it's irrelevant. I look at this because I have to do my orders. So the problem is now the first time I'm seeing most books is when I'm actually putting in their numbers the day the order's due. So, you know, I get a lot of stuff secondhand or, you know, via Twitter or Facebook and stuff like that, but for the most part, I have no idea what they have coming out. So, la-di-da.
But if you just looked at the new DC,
it's so thin now.
Yeah, well
they go back,
like Marvel has a lot of, they put multiples on pages and stuff. They do it well.
But I think even like last month's one wasn't that thin.
The funny thing was when they went to the PDF version and we said, hey, we need a print copy. They said, go ahead and print it. Well, they had done the PDF with one book per 2 pages, like the cover and stuff on this side and the solicit on this side. Well, it was like a 96-page document. It's like, my printing budget is not, doesn't, they're for printing 70 copies.
Yeah, are you paying for my ink?
Yeah. And then so they realized their numbers were down and through retailer comments, they went back to print, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, very interesting. When you have to pay for the printing, all of a sudden you're putting, you know, 8 on 2 pages instead of 1 on 2 pages. It's like very, very interesting. You know, what? Just tell your printer to, you know.
But I'm baffled by how many Batman books are out there. And now Spencer's saying
there's more.
Detective is,
yeah, right. What's this? Batman Knight that's on the cover.
4 times a month?
Yeah.
Well, Batman's going just back down to 1 time a month, so that makes up for it.
Well, and then there's Batgirls, Robin.
Robin and Batman. Yeah. No, it's well, absolutely insane. And see,
the
insane
thing about that is, too, it's like, because, like, the detective book, it's going to go to, like, a Batman family book, so it's not even going to be Batman related. It's going to be like either like the Batgirls or Robin or like. But you have the Batman Urban Legend book, which is basically that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and like that, and I've been liking that book because you get like 4 stories of different. Some of them are multi-part, but it's like if you're just going to keep on doing that on another book, you know, I think. It seems like are they kind of like because of Spider-Man, do you think? Because Spider-Man's like 3
times a month?
Well,
I think it's a case of, well, that could be part of it, yeah. But I think it's a case of Batman sells the best, make more Batman.
Yeah.
But it's my other problem with them is spread it out. Like,
you're saturating the market.
Somebody said 3, and I can't think of the third one off the top of my head, but I know at least 2 Catwoman books came out last week. Why?
You had the Black Label one.
Right, the regular one. I can't think of what the third one might be. But I don't dispute what they said. And then we keep getting Suicide Squad and Suicide Squad King Shark the same week. Split them up. Come on. You know, it's maddening when they do stuff like that, coming out with all the books on the same week. And then we'll get 1 week with, like, no Batman books. It's like, well, we can't have Batman all the time. Yeah, you can. You could easily do 2 or 3 a week, you know. So,
no, that's crazy.
I don't know. But I'll get into my rant. So Friday, that's a key part. Friday around 1 o'clock, we got an email. First we got an email from Diamond saying to hold most of the Image books coming out this week.
Again.
And then we got an email from Image saying that due to the supply chain issues and the upcoming paper shortage, they are no longer going to be doing second prints. I also heard that they're not going to be overprinting much. I could have sworn I read that somewhere. So it's on us to order more of the first prints to make sure we have enough.
Is that on single issues, or are they doing that with trade?
I don't know.
Because I think that would really bite them. I assume
they're printed in different places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, okay. But my problem with it was, my problem with the Friday afternoon email to hold the books is, you guys had to know before Friday afternoon. Now, Thursday, I put out the list of here's everything that's coming. I make the board of all the things that are coming. And now Friday afternoon, I have to pull 7 books off that list that people think are coming. Like, I know last week I told Dave, and Wednesday, Primordial's next week.
Crossover is supposed to be this week.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Primordial was supposed to be this week. Now it got kicked. And it's like, so I already promoted it once. I'm not promoting your stuff again. Mm-hmm. Are you going to re-promote all this stuff? No, you're not. So it's like,
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt just because I know the industry that they're in, and there are supply issues.
Right, I get it.
There are distribution issues.
I get it. So
it's going to be crazy.
I don't mind having to hold the books. My problem is I knew on Wednesday when I got my invoice that I was only getting 2 Moons Cover B and not Cover A, and that I wasn't getting my full shipment of some of the books. So if I knew on Wednesday there was a problem, somebody else knew on Wednesday.
Somebody else knew.
So how about an email on Wednesday saying, hey, hold these books? Because Friday afternoon, I'm already promoting stuff. I'm doing stuff. It just, that bothered me. The other problem I had was, so there's a paper shortage. We can't do overprints. There's not enough paper. We're out of paper. We don't have enough paper. Oh, but you know what came out this week? Gunslinger Spawn, that they bragged about printing 400,000 copies of.
But I'm going to say this about Gunslinger Spawn. If they did that many, I guarantee you that thing was printed a while ago. Because there's no...
Well, the orders only went in, you know, a month ago.
Yeah. So that had been printed a couple weeks ago. There's right. no way that...
But the shortage... I've been hearing about the shortage for months.
But again, look who it's doing. Who it is. It's McFarlane. I guarantee get it. McFarlane had his
I
own deal.
It. No, I totally yeah. get it.
That he's worried about just pushing his own book.
But my exactly. Right. So it was a vanity project for Todd.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking 400,000 has to be at least 2 months worth of their entire print run mm-hmm. for all their books, yeah. If not more. I don't know numbers, but I can't imagine they're printing that kind of number. So now you're telling me, oh, we're out of paper. It's like spending all your money on a Pokemon card and then going, oh, well, can you get dinner? I'm out of money. It's like you can't say, oh, look, we printed 400,000 copies of this book that didn't need 400,000 copies. The only reason they printed that many is because there was a 1 in 250 signed variant from McFarlane that's selling for big bucks. So I know one store showed a picture of the 20 copies they got. I'm like, okay, there's 5,000 copies right there. How many of the regular copies do you think that guy's going to sell of those 5,000? So they weren't...
I can't imagine any one store selling 5,000
right. So four of one book. Of those 400,000 copies, how many are actually going to sell? 30,000? Mm-hmm. So it's like... So there was 370,000 wasted comics of paper, and now you're telling me there's a paper shortage. It just...
It's not good business. It's not good optics.
Yeah. So that annoyed me. And I'm like, do I bother, you know, there's Image Comics coming next week. Do I even bother mentioning them?
Yeah, because who knows if they're going to.
Right.
I wouldn't put all the blame on Image right now.
I'm putting the blame on Image for notifying me that I can't put them out.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Like, for example, House of Slaughter came out this week. It was the number one.
Right.
Do you know how many the run was? Mm. Do you know how many you ordered?
Me, I ordered 25 regular and 10 of the shiny one that were all damaged.
Was there a variant, though?
There was. They even did a 1 in 1,000 variant on that one. I did not do that.
So, you know that's obviously going to be a hot book.
Right.
So, if the numbers are not that high, that resale value is going to go through the roof.
Right, but the problem is they did a 1 in 1,000 variant, so some stores are going to have 1,000 copies. And so, there's
that's
a secondary
other, that's
market.
The other thing that's going to happen with Image. These books are going
to... Oh, that's Boom. That's not Image.
Oh, is it Boom? Okay.
Yeah.
There's going to be like super valuable books out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the problem now. Now there's not going to be a second print. There's only first print. So now you're going to get the speculators in looking for these books.
So they took that idea from Bad Idea?
Yeah, kind of. So now I have to figure out, well, you know, and especially what about the random number one, you know, well, here. Let's see. I haven't even opened this yet, but let's look at Image. And I bet they have a number one in this book. By somebody nobody's heard of. So, how do I do that?
Okay. Well, like that first new issue of Saga, like...
Right.
You're not going to do a second printing of that if it's, you know, if it happens to sell.
Okay, here we go. Bolero number one from Wyatt Kennedy and Luana Vecchio.
I'll get that.
I don't know who they are. A new series from two bright-eyed and bushy-tailed little scamps.
Huh.
But... So I order, you know, 10 of that, and all of a sudden the speculators say that's their hot book of the week, and I sell all 10, you know, and that's, it's just mad.
But it's going to get to the point where the only books you're going to have are people that subscribe to it or have pulls
mm-hmm.
for it, and then there's going to be, maybe this will kill speculators.
Maybe, but then the problem with that also is, okay, so now I have to be really careful on my orders. So let's say I sell 10, but they all sell to speculators. There's no point in even ordering a number two. That kills their book. I see that happen a lot, which I don't want to say I find humorous, but I'll see the creators on Twitter bragging about their book was a sellout, and I sit there going, yeah, because all the speculators bought it. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, our book's ending at issue 5 because it got canceled, and we just don't understand because it was a huge hit. And it's like, it wasn't a huge hit.
Because you have huge numbers because people are buying it because they're speculating that they're going to turn around and flip that thing because it's a number one.
I sent this note to a friend, but they're someone in the LGBTQ community was all excited. A creator, which was all excited about Superman, Son of Kal-El,
5,
getting second prints, showing huge demand, and that there's an audience for this and all this. And I'm like, no, they all sold out because people knew, because, you know, the number two sold out because it was the first appearance of the boyfriend, and it shot up to $20 and people are trying to make a buck. It's not because there's demand. It's because it's a first appearance and it's completely hitting on that market. It has nothing to do with the book.
And I've been reading it and I've been enjoying it. But if they're going to start doing stuff like that just to up the sales.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Well, it's just, yeah. it's, you know, understand your market, and that doesn't necessarily equal big sales. Number five is going to sell great. Number six, I'm going to predict, is going to sell for crap.
It'll be because people are half of that.
Right. Because it's not bringing in all this new audience that you think it is.
How many?
It's getting buzz. Yeah.
How many polls do you have for that?
Not a lot. It hasn't been selling well until now. You know, now they're all gone because people are buying every issue. But it's just, I just found it funny that it was, you know, a creator not quite understanding why it's selling so well, yeah. You know.
Go look on eBay, that's why.
And the second prints are going to sell well, too, because they're not, you know, nobody's ordering 100 copies of a second print. Well, some stores might, but most stores are going to order a couple, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
And so there's another thing with it, if they're not going to do any more, like, second prints or things like that, is like, we've already seen, like, the issues you've been having with, like, damaged issues, like, mm-hmm. you know. So, like, if they're not going to do any second prints and stuff like that.
Which is going to make the books not damaged even more valuable.
Well, I do want to say, luckily, Penguin Random House, I don't want to say they've gotten their act together. Because this can't be the way they're going to ship them. But they've taken care of the problem for now. And the problem is I'm getting a smaller box than I was getting inside a bigger box, completely surrounded in bubble wrap, which is great. I'm glad I'm not paying shipping because the boxes are twice as big as they need to be, and I'm getting twice as many as I need. Like, if they shipped in a Marvel, in a diamond box, I'd probably get two.
That might be just
instead I'm getting six or eight.
That might just be a short-term fix.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So I don't want to say they've gotten their act together. They're shipping great now. But I'm also looking as I'm opening each box going, this isn't sustainable. Yes. We're getting free shipping. At some point, someone in the company is going to go, we're losing our shirts on shipping.
Yeah. Well,
and I'd rather not.
Double boxing stuff and bubble wrapping? There's all the materials.
I'd rather not lose the free shipping just to have undamaged stuff right now. So hopefully they
can. But the good thing is they're aware that there's a shipping issue and they've addressed it.
Oh, that was a pretty bad, again, optics. When retailers are showing all their damaged pictures, you know, online, that looked real bad for them and Marvel.
Yeah, it looked real bad.
Yeah, I mean, I did. I posted the picture online just to basically say, hey, this is how my books look. You know, I'm sorry. I'm probably not going to have what you're looking for. Yeah. So, it's just, and again, then it falls on us to take the chance and order, you know, with Image. But like I said, it just rang a little hollow. You know, I blew all my money on this. Look at this. Look at my cool car. I can't afford to put gas in it. You know, so it's great. You sold 400,000 copies of that. Has consequences.
I wonder if McFarlane had to put up some money.
Oh, maybe. But I'm just saying it has consequences. Now you don't have paper to print Saga. Okay. So congratulations. You know, it's hard to feel bad for them running out of paper when they did that. That's all. I think that's all I got as far as news-wise.
News and rants and...
It was just... I'll listen to you when you complain about a real problem that you didn't help make. Right, Marley?
But with Image books, typically if I see a book that I'm interested in, I order first three.
Mm-hmm.
And that way I know I'm
pretty
much
going to... Right, no, and I mean, that's super helpful to me. Yeah. But my problem with that, not that, but with... Just ordering, like, between when I left yesterday at 5 and when I got in today at 10, I had 12 app orders for the Long Halloween special. Yeah. It's like, you know, good thing I ordered enough to cover that, but it's like, come on, you had to know before Tuesday after 5 that you wanted that book. So,
and if you don't put it in and you are sold out, you know, that happened to me today. Luckily, Matt was nice enough to get
it. Well, I had more coming. I reordered more, but it's one of those, again, an $8 book. I'm not going to order. Oh, I'll just order 100. It's another Batman book. Yes, it's...
And then it's an old Batman
book. Right. And...
It's not even like...
Yes, it's a beloved Halloween, book.
New chat, like a new chat, like a mini chapter or something right. to add on to it. It's Are they just like a, is it like a behind the scenes kind of thing, or is it just a reprint? Or
right. Well, I knew it wasn't a reprint,
story.
But
it's oh, a, yeah, it's a continuation it is story. Okay.
I think it's with Scarecrow. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't Scarecrow. Know. But
I didn't realize it was new material. I thought they were like reprinting.
But again, you know, if Batman used to sell 150, I'm down to about 70. How many copies do I? I think I ordered 35 of it. So. You know, I ordered what I felt was kind of strong. We'll see.
Again, like you said, it's a $7.99 book. Are you supposed to order like 100?
And don't make a Halloween special come out 5 days before Halloween.
At least you it's know? Before
true,
Halloween.
True, true, because next week we have a Halloween book coming. So, but we knew that when we ordered it, to which we all kind of went, really? So, Mike.
Yes, sir. Why are you starting with me?
Because in your honor of being back, I figured we'd start with you.
You can talk about all the books you've read since the last
exactly.
time you've been here.
Yeah. Exactly.
I have read a lot of books. I will go out and say one thing. Anything that AWA puts out is awesome. And I absolutely love what they've been doing. And I continue to like Boom. I continue to like Image. And DC and Marvel just keep getting further and further in the distance with me. Like what they're doing with Daredevil. They're relaunching Daredevil. And they're doing a miniseries with Daredevil. Like I got an email from Colin says, oh, you ordered Daredevil. I want to get this. Please reply. I'm like, no, don't give this to me. I don't want it.
I'm just trying to figure out how to order Devil's yeah. Reign.
So Not All Robots number 3.
Merida.
Yeah. You're reading this?
Yep.
Are you liking this?
Yes.
Oh, it's fantastic. No,
it's not just AWA. What else is it?
It's Mark Russell.
That's correct, sir.
So, it's just, it's crazy, and I can almost see this happening. It's like the robots, the in-house robots have kind of gone crazy and, like, bad. So, what are we going to do? We're going to relaunch the robots, make them look more human, and we're going to get rid of all the other robots.
They had a trial for the robot that suffocated everybody in the Orlando bubble
and killed thousands and he got off of it.
I'm not guilty.
Yeah.
So the company they're manufacturing putting them out for sale, these mandroids now.
Well, the
second generation robots.
Yes. What I liked about this issue is we got to see some of the time before the domes went up.
Yeah.
And like the beginning of like the robots and the curators of the wall robots and how kind of one kind of looks like Jeff Bezos kind of.
Yes.
So I kind of like that because that was kind of the only like lone issue I was having with the series at the you know I still was enjoying it but it was just kind of like not knowing you know kind of but then we got some of the backstory and how the and like how kind of everything and how putting up the domes and the fires that destroyed everything outside the domes and
the robots have their own like little spin control.
Oh yeah.
For PR.
Oh yeah.
And just completely modify what the truth is. And then I want to know what's going to happen with the robot that's living in that dude's house who's like very disgruntled. He's just going to go and kill a lot of people, I think.
That or he might end up saving the family, I feel like.
You think?
Razor. Maybe.
Is it Razor?
Razor Ball.
Yeah.
Well, what I think the you know by the end of the issue when they you know announce these new robots that are gonna look more human is like that I like how now not only are the humans but like these first generations of robots are kind of like in the same boat now
as the humans. They're
yeah, these two, these, yeah two, exactly. These two people who were against each other are now kind of together now.
They're on the same team yeah,
against
these new formal
robots. Because like even whenever they were having that interview and they announced it and the human turned to her robot like co-anchor and was like, oh, what do you think? And the robot was like, oh, well, it's awesome.
But yeah.
It gets creepy at the end there when the Walters family gets their mandroid, which is a grandroid. It looks like the grandma.
It looks like grandma who passed away.
Yeah.
Passed away.
Like, identical to
and
grandma.
Then, what? Even creepier, the guy lives next door.
Before you get to that, the grandma, they were so cheap that they had...
Oh,
they
yeah.
couldn't. They had. They couldn't afford the android that didn't have ads in it. So
yeah.
in between of like those... the thing, it was given ads because the kids when they left their grandma 10 years ago, they assumed that she died, but they don't know because she's not in the dome.
Yeah.
So when the robots showed up, the daughter thought it was her actual grandma
yeah.
until she starts yeah. spitting out this ad
yeah,
and
model,
stuff like that.
So.
But then what were you saying, Dave? How it ends?
The neighbor.
Then the neighbor gets a mandroid too, and it looks like the guy's wife.
And they're just sitting out the window staring, like kind of like
yes.
looking at the neighbor,
oh.
going, "Oh yeah, this is who I have as my mandroid."
Oh, my
you're like,
gosh.
"You're like, that's my wife. Like, why would you do that?" Yeah, yeah. Russell was definitely
that was
hitting it on all cylinders.
That
on this one.
Exactly.
Flash number 775.
Over there.
I'm still enjoying this book,
the
writer.
I think they've had a couple of different writers.
Yeah.
Like, because they've just been kind of telling, like, short, like, 2-3-issue stories. And I think, not with every story, but I think, because, like, I think even the guy who did that first story with him, like, going through the speedster's bodies, I don't think that's the same writer as this one. But, yeah, the book has continued to been pretty good.
Yeah. So, in Central City, this giant staff just, like, falls, and it's, like, stuck in the middle of the city. And they
King
show,
Arthur style.
Yeah, King Arthur style. And Superman can't even move it. Superman can't pull it out. All these other people are trying. And for whatever reason, Wally is starting to notice that everybody in Central City is just angry, agitated, and just...
Even like Superman's giving him the business
yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, even Superman's giving him attitude. Like, you know, Mr. Boy Scout is giving attitude and stuff like that. And then one of my favorite things I think I'll never see ever again in a comic book is the trickster landing on a giant whoopee cushion.
Yeah.
In a comic book. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, okay. And then slowly towards, I guess it was a longer book this
time.
Yeah,
it's a big issue.
Mr. Terrific, who's Wally's boss, essentially is trying to kill him. And he doesn't know why he's trying to kill him. And then he fights back against Mr. Terrific, and he's like, well, he said something very smart. He's like, hopefully I don't get fired for this.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. And then his co-workers are yelling at each other, like, I'm going to kill you and stuff like that.
People on the street are yelling at him, like, I liked your old costume better, and throwing, like, rocks at him and stuff.
Yeah. And who was the supervillain at the end?
Well, there was a big group of, like...
All of the villains.
Yeah, there was, like, his almost, like, not... Other than, like, the main rogues gallery, it's, like, all, like... The
secondary and third level.
Yeah,
rogues, yeah,
shows up, so he's fighting all of them off, and then it's, like, Starbreaker?
Yeah.
I don't... But he's, like, an energy vampire from space.
Yeah. Yeah.
It
was a fun issue. It was a lot of fun.
But he comes down, and he pulls the staff out, and it turns out that inside the staff is, Eclipso, and that's why he was the one causing everybody to act
Makes
funny
sense.
And stuff like that. But then he kind of just, in the Starbreaker's body, just up and leaves, and Wally's just like, well, I'll call that a win for now.
And it kind of, like, leaves you there.
And then, Dr. Faith opens up a porter and
very
like,
end, yeah, at the very
and
end.
Like pulls him through and just like, Wally, the fate of the entire universe raced in your hands, and he's like, that's not even my best feature. That's not good.
Yeah, if we're getting Dr. Fate in a Flash issue, I'm excited. So I love
a beat up Dr. Fate
yeah,
too.
We have no idea what happened to him. So, the other one is Nightwing 85.
Yep.
So
which is basically a Batgirl issue.
Yeah, which is awesome. So, Barbara Gordon and Nightwing are basically trying to take out the anti-Oracle,
right,
who's completely hacked Oracle system. And she gets them together, and there's like a fear thing that happened to them. Like, she was playing off their fears. I can't remember if it was a gas or something.
Yeah, once they got into the... Because they had to go to, like, Oracle 2 base. Like,
yes,
where the main Oracle, like, mainframe or something's at.
Yeah.
And when they finally get in there, it's rigged with aflatoxin.
Yeah.
And they basically both, we only see Backgores, but we find out that they're both Boyfriends, like seeing the other person die.
And it makes them realize, oh, wow, I really care about you. Oh, I really care about you. And they kiss. I'm like, just be a couple.
Yeah.
Just, you know, end it. Just do what you got to do. And then, I guess.
Because Robin's there too. He's the one who's, he's the one
Tim's
who's
the one that has the, like, the password or this to Oracle 2.0. He's the one who's.
Yeah, and he also has the stuff that saves him. You know, he puts, like, the mask on to get the toxin out of him and stuff like that.
But yeah, this is like probably my favorite superhero book right now, and the artwork is incredible.
And Mr. DC, is that whenever, I don't know if it's the issue after the whole Fear State stuff, but that's supposed to be like one continuous page, like one continuous story.
I heard about it, I keep waiting for it.
So,
yeah, and this was written by Tom Taylor, and it's been awesome. So, that's the three that I remember.
Out of all the stuff you've read?
Yes. Oh, I've read a lot. So.
Well, I don't know about you, but my last couple weeks were kind of light. The last couple weeks, and then this week was ridiculous.
Well, last week I got reckless. Did you get reckless?
Not yet.
I have it in my folder.
I'm sitting there like, there's no way I'm going to be able to read this in time. So I'll just focus on the comics and go from there.
Yeah.
Good, Dave.
Okay. Trial of Magneto, number 3.
I forgot to read that.
Way to go, Colin.
I was out of town. I was doing important things.
Oh, so you got engaged.
Okay, at the end of the previous issue, Magneto confessed to murdering Scarlet Witch.
And then
Scarlet Witch
shows
down from the clouds.
It's a pretty good defense. I couldn't have killed her because she's not dead.
So she is it really her?
Oh, we don't know.
I mean, couldn't it just
I don't know,
though?
Dave. What it happens in number 3?
Well, we'll see. Because Vision says, "My wife." She's taken aback by that. She doesn't recognize Billy and Tommy are there.
Well, couldn't she just be another clone thing?
Okay.
There was a big meeting because the exact same thing happened in Death of Doctor Strange. Where he dies, and all of a sudden they get a one from the 60s.
So Rachel Gray, they decide to look in her mind to find out what her last Scarlet Witch is, what her last memory is, and they don't find too much. So her and Jean Grey, they decide to put memories back.
Well, that's not going to go well.
Because they say this, she doesn't. Because their reasoning is she doesn't remember her kids, so we have to give her that. So then there's like a page of a montage of different moments in Scarlet Witch's life, and you have the No More Mutants and all that stuff. And then for some reason, Krakoa is attacked by 3 kaiju.
Hate when that happens.
So the Avengers and the X-Men, they have to split up and battle these self-healing kaiju for some reason. That felt like filler. And then the last few pages, we get like a weird 2-page spread that says, spin the wheel. And then you see the Scarlet Witch. I don't know if she's in the afterlife or something. And she's with this lady with a hood, with this lady with a white outfit and a hood. And she takes off the hood, and it's Old Lady Wanda.
What?
So I don't know what's going on.
Mind blown.
I don't know what's going on.
Is this a mini?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. 5-issue mini.
So we'll see where that goes next month. Fantastic Four.
All right,
37.
Halloween issue?
Halloween issue with... with Ben and Alicia's kids going trick-or-treating.
I like on the cover that...
That was a great cover.
Because, Human Torch, he has a pumpkin on his head that's on fire. The Invisible Woman is, invisible, but she only does, the top layer of her skin, so you can still see, her skeleton. I'm not sure what was Reed. He was, stretched behind anybody.
He was stretching a little. I don't know what...
But
thing
just had a domino mask on, and that was it. Yeah, that was his costume, was just the domino mask.
Yeah, that was great. So they get, so the kids get the, they get the idea to change costumes, and of course the little girl who's the Skrull, she can change her appearance so they could get, you know, 10 times the candy. But then we get the Profiteer, who was running that fight club in space. She wants the kids back. So on their trick-or-treating, and all of a sudden above Yancey Street, the spaceships show up and the soldiers come down, and they want to take the kids back. So there's a big fight, and the boy, Joe, he yells, it's clobbering time, and he grabs a sword, and he starts
stabbing people.
He starts stabbing everybody. People all over the place, and Alicia's like, oh my God, what's
like
going on?
Like killing people?
Yeah.
Oh God.
What's going on? And Alicia even wants to, she like thinks about using that, the Puppet Master's radioactive clay, so she can like control
to stop him
until the Puppet Master like talks her out of it.
Yeah, that's bad whenever your evil dad has to be like, hey.
The Puppet Master dude is still alive?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
in prison.
He's in prison, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just leaving his clay laying around.
Yeah, wow.
So, they do defeat these people. And there's, we have Spider-Man in this issue.
Yeah, because,
giving Johnny a pep talk.
Yeah, because, like, the things, because, like, the Human Torch, he's supernova all the time now, so the only person that can really be kind of close to him is the Thing. So whenever the Thing goes to leave to go take the kids trick-or-treating, at the time that he didn't know that they've won, like, 5 other times already, which are they, when they find out, they make sure they take the kids and make, give all the candy back to the people that they've got multiple candy from. So. But he's like, don't worry, we got somebody here to, you know, talk to you, and it's Spider-Man. And, like, they're hanging out by, like, the Statue of Liberty, which he burns, like, half of it down.
That's the last piece. He, like, melts the arm. He melts the arm, it's starting to come off, and
Spidey has it all webbed
uses
up.
Webbing, you know, to keep it up, and then, you know, they got to fix that. At
end. Oh, God.
So, I enjoyed that issue. That was really good. And the third one, Ice Cream Man, number 26.
Brought a visual.
He's a visual aid.
Oh, wow.
So, for the guys
wait,
here.
Wait, before you show me, Dave, am I old enough to see this? Is this?
You're old enough, yeah. Okay. There's nothing bad. There's nothing bad. It's just...
Because I know some of those things you'd be reading sometime, Dave, aren't appropriate for everybody.
No, I mean, what I love about this book, even though it's depressing all the time, is that it's continually breaking the boundaries of what a comic can be. Because the first page here is, please rotate your book 90 degrees clockwise. So, it's, that's better. Please meet Michael. So, it's the story about this guy, Michael, his family tree, and the whole issue is...
Don't tell me he goes straight down.
He goes straight down the tree. As he talks about, he wants to find a, he's, he has anxiety all the time and is on drugs. He wants to find out from his family tree, like, how this happened to him. So he's like, starts talking about his great-grandfather who was into calligraphy. And that went up in smoke when the printing press came along. And he went to drugs. And his dad was a hippie in Haight Ashbury and was on drugs, too.
I'm sensing a pattern.
So he
because of the printing press.
Yeah.
This guy's family.
So he like falls down. He finally gets to the bottom and goes like underneath the tree in the roots where he meets his like future daughter who he's going to have someday. And he meets his ancestors too who he was talking about. And he just decides, you know, he decides like to try to break the chain of this addiction. And this family, and it's kind of uplifting for ice
That's
cream
a very clever
for an ice cream comic, for an ice cream man book, and you know you could turn the book back.
That's really cool.
There, that's better. It's a just a really really cool issue. And
neat.
Come down to Pittsburgh Comics and
buy them all. Oh wait,
That's gonna be tough though when it comes out in trade.
I do not like that. I bought the other cover. I do not like that cover.
Okay,
but that's all I got.
Okay, well, I had some. I can't believe nobody read
what
this.
About Spencer?
Oh, Spencer, I'm sorry.
Oh,
Spencer,
really?
Was so Spencer was talking so much. Spencer was talking so much, I thought
gosh.
He'd already gone. I'm sorry.
Colin's watching the hockey game, kids. That's why.
Did you read the Ninja Turtles?
Yes.
So this is more just them trying to figure out, like, they got old Herb in a cell, and they're kind of going through, like, all of his supplies, seeing what he has, and trying to figure out, like, who should be, because, like, how they should handle, like, policing and jail forcing, you know, and putting people in jail, and who should be police.
Like, set their law in society, and, like, who's going to manage it.
And they don't want the, and Leo doesn't think that the Splinter Clan should be in charge of stuff like that, so Raph himself takes up that responsibility to try to make up, because he had a part in making Mutant Town to begin with. So he's trying to make amends by kind of becoming like the either like sheriff or police officer. You know, I kind of like to think of him as a sheriff.
Oh yeah,
yeah, like a little total sheriff,
total badass,
little total ninja sheriff.
Yeah.
But as that's going on, the kid weasels who look at old Herb as kind of like their father figure.
They help him.
And well, if you kind of look at him, it's really kind of like one. And then if you look at the art, you can kind of tell, like, one, and definitely one of them, or both of them are kind of, like, standoffish. Like, they don't know if they kind of want to do it. It seems like it's the one that's really, like, gung-ho about trying to help them. So he escapes, and they give chase, and they are eventually down in the sewer. And Herb pulls out a gun, and Raph tries to go after him anyways, because he's like, well, he can't shoot all of us, like, you know. And he takes a hit in the arm.
Yeah, and eventually
they let him escape to get him again. And he goes into the, somewhere in the sewer, there's like a lab to where the female scientist that was always a part of the Manimals.
Did she help make Mutant Town?
I think she helped with, like, the ooze and, like, making it into, like, because there was, like, an airborne, like, a gas kind of thing. So, yeah, I think she kind of helped with that stuff. And talking about, because I think they were trying to make more mutagen, and then, like, the issue ends with her, like, with these big sticks of dynamite, talking about wanting to blow a hole in the wall to get outside of the walls and into like the actual New York, another really good issue of the
Sophie Campbell's. She's a really good writer on this.
Yeah, of the Turtles. Green Lantern number 7. The main reason I want to talk about this book is because on the cover, it has like as a picture of Kilowog, and like he's getting hit with like this weird energy kind of thing, and it says, "The Last Stand of Kilowog." And in neither story, because it has, there's like two different stories going on in Green Lantern, and neither one of them had a panel with Kilowog in it whatsoever.
Seriously?
Seriously. The first story was like, John Stewart kind of gets sent in past to see whenever the Guardians, when they were kind of first around, they were having fights with, like, the new gods and stuff like that. So, and, like, kind of, like, this little war and how some of them got murdered. And, like, he was safe as long as he didn't try to go out and interfere. If he wanted to try to go out and interfere, he would have the possibility of, like, dying and stuff. But he goes out anyways. And, like, he gets hit and he kind of gets turned into, like, this weird green energy and then comes back to the present and he's, like, in a new kind of Green Lantern suit. And then the second story deals with, the Far State Green Lantern, what's the Green Lantern that Geoff Johns created at the end of his run with the gun,
Simon,
yeah. Yeah.
Simon Baz.
Him and then the Teen Lantern, who they, in the last issue, recovered from, she was someplace wreaking havoc because her gauntlet's been going out of control. So it was just kind of like almost kind of like a weird custody thing to where, like, they want to take her back to the Lanterns and keep an eye on her to where the other, like, because there's a couple of Senegalians and stuff that want to take her to, like, the United Planet things and stuff like that. But yeah, like I said, neither story didn't never had a panel of Kilowog in it whatsoever. And so I don't know if that's going to be if they got their covers mixed up with the issues. Like, if it's like a couple issues now, Kilowog's going to bite the dust. I don't know, but I just thought that was funny, just considering the state of how DC's been kind of running things recently. And then, did anybody read Batman?
I did.
I can't really remember. Do you remember what happened in this issue? Because this was like one of the first ones I read in the week. I can't. I think I remember.
Wasn't it? Well, no. My problem is I read the Peacekeeper one shot. I want to make sure I was talking about that, not that. Because, but yeah, I think at the end of the last issue, the Peacekeeper X got blown up. Yeah. And so Simon Saint kind of lost his mind. It's like, well, can't you go get it? Can't you get the brain? Isn't the brain still alive? You know, living brains are a thing, right? And then he kind of unleashes everything and sends all the attack. He kind of snapped and sent all his weapons to try to kill Batman and Peacekeeper One.
I think like Scarecrow.
Peacekeeper One is still, Scarecrow's really talking to him.
And he has a cure for the toxin if he does, like, has him to do something. He wants him to act.
Yeah, and then, well, because then it was Miracle Molly had realized that the main computer, when they gave up, when they get their brain wiped by this computer, it takes away all their fears and everything and lets them be the natural person they are. But he stored all that stuff, and so Scarecrow went and got that, which is just full of all the fears of all the people.
And then they can, like, make people and other people fear their own, like, I think it, like, manifests their fears and stuff like that. So
he got that now, so.
But then, like, I think the reason I may not remember as much, because I don't think the main artist did as many pages this issue. They had, like, a different kind of fill-in artist, and it wasn't as good. It made it a little less lucker. And the only other thing I read was the Batman Catwoman book. And again, I can't really remember.
That's the third Batman, the Catwoman book, yeah.
It was just more just like them with like this weird like relationship that like the Joker and Catwoman have, like, because Batman's mad that in a previous issue that she didn't tell him sooner about a plot that the Joker had to, like, blow up, like, this icing rink and stuff like that. And then, so, later on in the issue, when it's, like, because it jumps back between, like, the future and, like, present day, and then the present day stuff, she's, like, getting drunk with the Joker and is, like, talking, like, no, I'm not, like, you know, like, she's like, this, like, you know, like, I, like, Robin Stone, like, I'm responsible for that, but, like, if you go and kill a whole bunch of people, and I don't, like, you know, and I don't say anything to him, like, I'm not responsible for that, and like, stuff, like, it's just kind of weird, like, I'm just waiting for, like, before the series to end, like, Tom King be like, oh, yeah, the Joker and Catwoman also, like, slept together one time or something, like, because he kind of likes to do some kind of weird things like that sometimes.
What number is this?
Huh?
What number is
it? I think it was eight.
Yeah, eight.
Eight of 12.
Yeah. Yeah, that's bye-bye. Then I think this is the last thing I'm getting single issue of Tom King. Because, like, I haven't got the Supergirl. I'm going to wait for that to be traded. I'm not picking up the Human Target. Even though it looks good, I think it's going to be good. But I'm just going to wait for it to come out and trade. But, yeah, that's all that I read.
That's it? Okay. So there was the Batman Secret Files Peacekeeper, which was interesting, telling his backstory, because they made him out as not being a great guy, and he was about to be fired, but then when the whole thing happened at Arkham, that's what he became the hero. And it goes back that his dad and his grandfather were both Gotham police officers, and not so much on the up and up, and they, like, well, you can't, everybody can't be clean, you know, you can't arrest everybody, so if we just kind of monitor the dirty people and get payoffs and everything is fine. And they even took him, when they went to take down, there was a good cop that he and his partner were going to beat up, and they had Peacekeeper sitting in the car watching as the one guy accidentally hit him too hard and killed him. So it's like he's seen all this, and he kept applying to be a cop, and Gordon's like, no, I know your family history. There's no way you're ever going to be a police officer. So he and then he was working at Arkham and was about to be fired. And he was actually, during the whole thing, was trying to blow up all the records. And then accidentally some nurses got into the room where there was all the stuff that was about to blow up, and he was trying to save them. So he's not a good guy, but it was kind of interesting just getting, you know, he came by it naturally. He kind of never had a chance in life. You know, he was a failure to his dad because he was never a cop, even though his dad's behavior kept him from beginning, you know, that kind of thing. Phoenix Song Echo, very pretty book. I'll give him that. I don't know who the artist is, but the art I thought was really good. Book was really dumb. It's about Phoenix. It starts off where she's in this, like, a jewelry store, and these guys are trying to rob it, and the one comes up to behind her to hit her, and she knows it because of her Phoenix powers. And she lights him on fire and he burns. And then the fire goes and the whole building's on fire. And then she senses a girl, because I'm like, she couldn't hear the kid screaming because she's deaf. But she senses the girl and saves her. And then everybody's kind of like, what kind of hero are you that you burned down a house? And, you know, she's like, oh, I need to go find myself. And she talks to Elektra, and Elektra's like, you're just weak. You know, and she flies away from her. She flies over Krakoa for some reason, and then goes to the moon, and is broody on the moon. Well, when she flew over Krakoa, Forge saw her with somebody else, and then so Forge made this like containment unit for her and this gun, and put that on. It was an island that I guess Phoenix had destroyed or something. Oh, it was Easter Island that I guess Phoenix had destroyed or something. And then Brew calls her down because they needed her for something. How she'd even know who Brew was, the Brood Kid. And she reads lips. Brew has no lips. He's a, you know, a brood thing with no lips. Whatever. She flies down there. Forge is like, you need to learn your powers. And actually, we're just going to take them from you. And puts her in this containment unit that's supposed to take her powers away. And she breaks out of that, and she's like, don't you ever do that to me, blah, blah, blah. And then she flies back to her ancestral home, because I guess she's Native American. So she flies back to where, although she grew up in New York, they used to go there on family trips, and she remembers this old guy. And then she meets some kid who was the grandson of the guy she used to know, and he has some power where you can see your ancestry. And she comes from these great warrior women. And it was just very not good. Just convoluted. And can't she just be cool on her own? And now I didn't care for it. But the last one I read was Refrigerator Full of Heads. This takes place after... obviously after a basket full of heads.
Is it the same lady?
No, but it's the same location.
Okay.
So this husband and wife are going out there to go on vacation. I guess she's going to, write. And he's just kind of a goofball going, oh, I'm the house husband. So he goes somewhere and pisses off the locals. Like he was writing down license plates of these bikes for, I don't remember why, but they come out and see him writing down their license plates, like, what are you, a narc? And they start chasing him, and they're gonna, and oh, it starts off with this family. There's this knife that if you're stabbed with it, these people break into this house to steal this knife, where if you're stabbed with it, you're just basically paralyzed and you go crazy because you can't respond to anything. So the guy gets stabbed with that. The guy who owned it gets stabbed by the robbers, and everybody else gets killed in the family. But he has enough time to make this symbol out of the blood. Well, it turns out it was the tattoo that one of them had, and so this guy gets in chasing him, or have that same symbol on their jackets and stuff. So while running, He goes down into the water and sees something. You don't know what he saw. It's just a glow. And then goes back up, and he tells her about it as they're still running. And she goes down to look, and the axe is down there, along with a head that's going blub, blub, blub. It was just a skeleton head going blub, 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 because it's still talking, because they get beheaded, but they don't stop talking. And then she comes back up with the axe. So now I'm guessing the axe. And there's a fridge in the boathouse for keeping the bait and stuff. So I'm guessing that's the refrigerator that's going to be full of heads. So it was fun. I enjoyed it. It had a good beat. You could dance to it.
It's not Joe Hill.
It wasn't Joe Hill, but I it was good. So next week is a really weird week. Not sure what's going on.
Don't talk about any Image books that you did.
Yeah, I won't. I won't mention any of those. But let me start with Marvel. And normally I just highlight the books, you know, the new number ones or the event books, things like that. But I'm going to read every Marvel comic that's coming out next week.
That, man.
So we have Amazing Fantasy number 4, Darkhawk number 3, Death of Doctor Strange Avengers number 1, Star Wars 18, that's the big book of the week, Star Wars Bounty Hunter 17, Strange Academy Presents the Death of Doctor Strange number 1, Winter Guard number 3, and X-Men Legends 8. That is all Marvel is putting out.
Wow.
So I don't know. Paper shortage? I don't know what's going on, but that was a little eesh. Okay. Sorry. Just looking at I'm looking at unconfirmed order, and all of a sudden, oh, that must be a. There's all of a sudden I'm getting 10 copies of something. I don't know the name, but it must be a bad idea book. Only because for the last ones, I just ordered the bundle of 10 of their last, whatever they're called, they called it. And so I don't really even know the titles. So from Image. Well, maybe it'll come. A Thing Called Truth. Then we have After Dark One Shot. I believe this is from Aftershock. Chilling Adventures in Sorcery One Shot, shipping the week after Christmas. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
Good timing. Halloween. 3 days after Halloween. Love it. Sorry, Halloween, not Christmas. We have Gil March is doing a book called Laura. That's from Ablaze. Heathens number 1. I think that's an Aftershock too. Hellboy Bones of Giants number 1. Did I miss a pick? No. Just Hellboy's still chugging along. Knighted number 1. This is a... Sorry about that.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Knighted is an AWA book where I think the premise is this guy accidentally kills like Batman and so then goes and finds his lair and he realizes he has to replace him, so he has to figure out how to do this. Magic Order Volume 2 number 1 from Mark Miller. My Bad number 1, which I think is also another AWA book. I think it's a
it's Ahoy. It's a it's,
oh Ahoy and it's a Mark Russell. New Burn is a new one that is from Image, and that is, I think that's Zdarsky.
Yeah.
Primordial 2 does come out next week. Rush, number 1, this is from Vault. I read a advanced copy of that. That was interesting. Set in the Gold Rush, lady's going to look for her son, and gets there, but there's also this really creepy guy killing people, and he's got a giant spider, so... everyone, I know Mike especially was looking forward to this one. Sheena, Queen of the Jungle, number 1. Only
new number 1? Wow.
New number 1 only has covers that I know of up to you. That's how we can save some paper, too. Spawn 323 comes out next week. And Stranger Things Winter Special. So, and then DC is kind of saving the day with actually coming out with some books.
All that, man?
Not all Batman. But we do have Batman 116.
Ooh.
And we have Batman Superman Authority Special number 1. Another one where I go, how do I order this? Because the Superman Authority was set in the future, so that has nothing to do with this book. And as I recall, I don't remember Superman being in it originally. I thought it was like Batman Authority, because I remember being like, okay, I don't know how to
do this. Is it Grant Morrison or is it somebody else?
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think it's Morrison. We have Dark Knights of Steel, number one. I do believe that is Tom Taylor.
Though. Oh,
Human Target, number one, that Spencer's not allowed to have. So if he complains I wouldn't sell it to him, that's why.
Yeah, right. Like if I said I want this, he would tear me down.
Getting Static Season 1, number 4, the B cover, but not the A cover. And Superman 78, number 3, that people have been enjoying. So that's what we got next week. A little bit of a weird week. At first, I thought maybe it was a 5 Wednesday month, but it's not. So we'll see. Maybe the shipping delays and paper and stuff make more noise, Mike.
Gonna make up for lost
thanks
time.
For coming back.
You're welcome. Can I come back again? Yeah. I'll see you in December.
So Mike, it's the, you know, we're wrapping up horror month, and we have Tim keeps making good displays. Website's pittsburghcomics.com, Facebook's Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. Mike, would you be so kind as to send us home?
And that's the podcast.
Hey, you remembered.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.